Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Sports Radio 1043 The Fan.
All right, happy Friday, everybody. Weekend is within our grasp. Got Championship Sunday coming up. You and I were talking during the break. We're going to get all our stuff done here over the next 2 days so that Sunday is just a, it's a 3F day.
Oh, yeah.
The three Fs?
Yeah, the three Fs. Food, football, arts.
Yep.
Stretchy pants. Yep, get the stretchy pants on, people.
Yep, relax. Watch your football.
Mm-hmm.
Because then we got 2 weeks.
That's right.
By the way.
For the big game.
Is it just me Friday?
Uh-huh.
Is it just me or how cool is this announcement? They are expecting to be able to have 22,000 fans at the Super Bowl.
Yes.
7,500 of which will be vaccinated healthcare workers being given free tickets to the game.
That's really cool.
Awesome.
That is really cool.
Awesome. And as you go about your day, hope that you could perhaps have 1/100th of the energy that Dan Campbell has when he goes about his day. Holy smokes.
How many kneecaps do you think he took out yesterday?
Biting kneecaps on the way up.
Oh.
Our millennial Ben is a long-suffering, diehard Lions fan. Going on, oh, geez, what is it now? 15 years?
Yes.
How old are you?
I'm 28, Mike.
Oh, he's 28. Okay.
20, but yeah, but he didn't really probably become a fan until he was, let's call it 10.
10, so yeah.
That's 18 years.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
What was the last time the Lions actually were like?
I remember because I was there watching you. You did not know I was there. I did not know you were there because you were an anonymous guard. But I was at RFK. 1991 NFC Championship game?
Yeah.
Against the Detroit Lions?
January of 92, but the 91 season,
yeah. I was covering that game.
You were?
Yep.
And I was 25.
Uh-huh.
Because I turned 26 the couple days before the Super Bowl.
Here's the thing I remember. Old RFK. The press box we were in was swaying. I mean, it was so intense, so loud, old build. I mean, the old buildings were the best.
So you're a couple years younger than me, right?
Yeah.
You were like 22?
This is January of 92. Yeah, I was 23 at the time. Yeah.
Who were you working for?
I was working for an outfit that I just started.
You were
right
like
after
a stringer
college.
Or something?
Yeah, it's basically, it was the coolest job ever. I made zero money, but I literally traveled about 4 or 5 months a year and went to every big sporting event. It was great. And I was at that NFC Championship game. And I was at the Super Bowl where you guys beat the Bills a couple weeks later.
Really?
Yes.
So you're in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. But that RFK, man, that was the last time Detroit was good.
That whole stadium would shake.
Oh, my God. It was literally swaying. I'm like, is this supposed to happen?
Yeah. Is this thing going to fall down?
It was so cool.
Yeah, was a great stadium.
And then, they'd score. You guys blew them out and you'd score. And then, Hail to the Redskins would be played. Can't sing that anymore. Hail to the football team.
Right. Hail to the football team. Hail victory. Can't say that part either. Team on the, can you say Warpath? Yeah, you can say Warpath. Like team.
I don't know.
Team don't on know. The win path. Fight for old DC. Runner passes where we went a lot
more. All the guys dressed up in the hog outfits. I mean, it was great.
Yeah, it was great.
It was awesome.
It was a great time.
It was awesome.
Great time in the nation's capital.
Yeah. Not a great time around here the last 5 years when it comes to our football.
That's obvious.
And, hey, you play a role in that, Vance.
This is really my fault.
Well, you play the biggest role. And I think it's because of the Let's call for what it is. It's because of the abject failure in the draft over the last several years that have put the Broncos in this position where John's been bumped upstairs and George Payton's taken over. And I think it has basically soured people so much on the idea of the draft that yesterday what we heard was, without even batting an eye, 3, 4 first round picks, throw in a second round pick, throw in a Jerry Jeudy or Noah Fant, whatever it takes to get Deshaun Watson. And I know there's about a 1.3% chance of this deal ever happening, but God, I hope it does. It would be fascinating to watch over the next several years, you know, how this grand experiment plays out. You know, is he the guy that raises all boats? Is he the guy that comes in and instantly makes your team 4, 5, 6 wins better? Is George Payton capable of still building a championship team around Deshaun Watson using second, third, and fourth round picks? You know, all those things that were debated exhaustively yesterday on Twitter and on this radio station would be put into play. I would love to see it happen. I think it would be so much fun to watch play out, but, you know, again, probably a 1.3% chance of that happening. They continued on ESPN to speculate about potential landing spots, and I haven't seen the Broncos yet. Have you?
No. It comes down to where he wants to go, and he gets to be the driving force behind this. And as we had Adam Schefter on yesterday, Adam Schefter is just like, I think he'd sit out. he's gonna force his hand. So it looks like, you know, the odds are it's gonna happen.
He said high. We asked him high.
Yeah.
High percentage that he gets dealt. But the names we're seeing, Jets, Carolina,
Atlanta,
Chicago,
San Fran. Yeah, it was one of them.
And here's what we're seeing. We're seeing Deshaun Watson and other NFL players are seeing the power and the freedom exhibited by NBA stars. And they're like, wow, that is cool.
Right.
I want me some of that. And it looks like he's going to have that chance to be like an NBA guy. He gets to be Durant. He gets to be Kyrie. He gets to be Harden. He gets to be LeBron. Pick where he wants to go. And we find out along the way what matters to him. And
it is a fascinating process.
It is.
You never thought you would see.
It is. And yeah, would it be fun to watch here? Man, it would. But it just doesn't seem likely. So, unlike his predecessor who said there is no plan B, is there a plan B? And I actually, after the events of yesterday, may have gotten talked into plan B.
Really?
Yes. Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com. I already get some of the text here on Is It Just Me Friday. I got beat up yesterday just because I did not choose to join the desperate mob that is prepared to give up anything and everything for Deshaun Watson. Look, I like Deshaun Watson. He would make me not have to worry about the quarterback position. I just don't think he's a transformative player.
Okay, let me just read something to you from the text line.
Why, sure.
Okay, can I do this?
Sure.
Because
absolutely.
This guy wears me out all the time. The 405.
Oh yeah, that's Mickey.
Is that Mickey?
That's Mickey.
Is it really?
That's Mickey.
Stinky, stinky, stinky.
Oh, that's definitely Mickey.
Yeah, sometimes it's painful how you run your pie hole without thinking about it. Six of the Broncos' losses were one-score losses. You telling me that Watson wouldn't be a huge upgrade over Locke, Driscoll, or Rippon? And a wide receiver playing QB? I realize you're horribly jealous of John Elway, and you're telling me this roster that won 5 with awful QB play couldn't win 11 with a top-6 quarterback? Maybe you should just stick to mowing lawns, okay?
a good little finish there at the end.
Yeah, okay. No, that is great. Mickey, do you realize Houston lost 7 one-score games? Did you go through their schedule? They lost 7 one-score games. With one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. Like you cannot look at, oh, wow, we were really close in Tennessee. Like, it doesn't work that way. It's the coach that said, man, we're 3 plays away from winning that game. Yeah, 3 plays that you can't make because you're not a good enough team to make those 3 plays. Oh, we were really close if it wasn't for those penalties. Yeah, but you know what? You committed those penalties because you're not very good. Oh, by the way, you don't ever look at it the other way. Wow. We got away with a couple of big mistakes, but we won the game. You don't ever look at it that
way. Nobody ever looks at the close wins. They only look at the close losses as to see what it could have been. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, what happened in the 7-1 score games that the Houston Texans lost to go 4-12, Mickey? What happened? How come they couldn't pull it out with the greatest quarterback of all time? I'm all for trading for Deshaun Watson. I'd love to have Deshaun Watson on this roster. And Deshaun Watson's a great player.
And I'd trade for him too. I'm on record. I'd give up a first round pick this year. I'd give up a player like Judy or Fant, maybe both of them. Throw in a second or a third. I'd do it, but I'm not gonna. Here's where I guess I just part company with a lot of people here on the station. I know a lot of you out there. I guess I just believe more in team building. I just believe that you have to have a really good team. I don't think this is a really good team. I think a lot of people believe this roster is closer than I do. And I just don't believe that Deshaun Watson comes in here and is such a transformative player that he instantly turns you into a 10 or 11 win team. I don't think that happens. And in the process, you know, you've given up a lot of assets that you can use to go out and build your football team. I guess it's just a different way. Maybe it's old school. Maybe I got to get over it. I don't know. It's why I wish this deal would happen because it'd be fascinating to see how it plays out. But it's just the way I feel. But it's obvious. I'll tell you what. I am, if nothing, Mark, but a man of the people.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, did the people speak yesterday. People spoke. I mean, there is such a hunger, a desperation, whatever word you want to use for it, to go out and get a quarterback that seems to, you know, pass the numbers test and the eye test, that people will give up whatever it takes and they'll worry about the consequences later. I'll pay the credit card statement later. And okay, that's what you want. It's clear that's what people want.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it'd be fascinating to see if it happened, but obviously I don't think it will, but it'd be fascinating to see if it would happen because that's clearly what people want.
Right. And listen, I went on record of saying would I give up 3 number ones? Yeah, I'd give up 3 number ones, meaning I would give up this year's number one and my other number one would be Jerry Jeudy. I give up this year's number one, Jerry Jeudy and another, and then next year's number one.
Like that. Yeah, well that wouldn't be enough.
Well, yeah, I know. I mean, I don't think it's going to be. I don't think that's going to be enough.
By your definition, you'd be willing to give up. You'd have to give up. Yeah, you'd have to give it. You'd be willing to give up 3, but in what it would actually cost, you'd be giving up 4 because it'd be 3 first round picks and a first round player.
No. I would give up.
No, you wouldn't. I know, but that's what the Broncos would have to pay.
Right. And I get people on the text line saying, "Well, what about number 9 this year, Von Miller? Von Miller, Jerry Jeudy, next year's number one, and Drew Lock." Well, one, Von Miller has no value in the trade.
You got to leave Von out of this.
He's got zero value.
Yeah, nobody
because of that contract. Nobody wants to touch that.
No.
And how much value does Drew Lock have?
Right. You can't just say, "Hey, if I pile my trash up high enough, they'll take it."
At the very top of my trash heap, I'm going to tape a 20. maybe somebody will take it.
There you go.
And look, just Sean Watson's a really good player. But you know what? Here's what I know. With the way that the college game is going, the way that quarterbacks develop, there will be good quarterbacks coming into the league year after year. And if George Payton can't find one, if it turns out Locke isn't the guy, then you don't have the right guy here anyway. And I know it's hard to find it.
Right.
But you're going based on the last 5 years. Yes. Based on the last 5 years, you would think that it's hard to find a quarterback. Is it that it's that hard to find a quarterback, or the people that were put in charge of trying to find that quarterback are just really bad at it? I think it's more of that.
Yeah. Well, I think it's not
easy, but it certainly becomes a lot harder when you've had this front office trying to figure it out the last 5 years.
I think there's truth in both of those things. I think it's hard to find a guy, and I think they have been really bad at it. So I think both of those things are at the same time true.
Here's what I'd say. If you took an organization that has really shown an ability to draft and evaluate talent, and they spent 5 years trying to figure out the quarterback position and they couldn't do it, then I'd really buy into the idea that, wow, this is really hard and you should probably give up whatever you got.
Right.
If you can get one. I'm sorry. I just think what we've been watching around here and what's got people so down in the dumps when it comes to the quarterback and desperate about the quarterback position is the fact that you've just watched a terrible front office trying to do it. So before we panic and just give up a massive haul, how about we actually, you know, see what maybe somebody who can do the job, what they're able to do?
Right, right.
I'll give you Brandon McManus, Von Miller, Josie Jewell, and a third round pick.
And we've irritated a couple of garbage men right now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I love
Hey, listen.
Love my garbage people.
You never, it is said with all respect, man.
Yeah.
All respect. Because no matter how high you pile the garbage, you guys know what to do with it.
Yeah.
Because you're the best. All right. Jared, relax. All right. More Four Down Territory coming up next.
Are you ready for some football?
This is Four Down Territory.
Words cannot say how much I truly love you.
Donkey Kong Sue.
Double team, leaping high, falling hard.
Yo soy fiesta.
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan. First Down.
As the 5-year anniversary of Super Bowl 50 approaches, the man who pulled all the right strings that season is once again calling it a career.
I want you to think about what we can be when it's all said and done.
Gary Kubiak announced his retirement on Thursday after spending 2 seasons with the Minnesota Vikings. The 59-year-old coach previously retired in 2017 after 2 seasons leading the Broncos.
Our thanks to Broncos.com, who put together that tribute for Gary Kubiak, who has retired again. Mark, why was Gary Kubiak, you know him well, why was he the perfect coach for the Broncos Super Bowl team in 2015?
Just stability. Stability, the way he dealt with people, the way he dealt with tough situations. Man, there was so much, boiling under the surface. And yet, Gary Kubiak was like a duck, just sitting on a pond, right? Looking majestic, just steady. Underneath his feet are going a mile. His little duck feet are going a mile a minute. Underneath the water.
I love
all
when
kinds
you do
of
that.
Bubbles
I
coming
love
up and
when
stuff.
You do that. Normally, Millennial Ben follows it up with right. something, but he's, I don't know. He's into his fourth egg and muffin that I brought in had, for today.
Yeah, you know what? Very magnanimous of you, by the way, to bring in egg and muffins when Ben viciously attacked you for
he
no reason
started
yesterday.
This I know. Whole conflagration that went up yesterday.
Yes.
Started by Millennial Ben.
What are duck feet?
How about
we
you?
We had this conversation. What are duck feet called?
Play a little Billy Joel. We didn't start the fire. Millennial Ben did.
I know.
Wow. And yet I still brought in breakfast
it's
for
It's amazing.
Him.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Next on the Four Down Territory.
second down.
We're preparing for it, but until you're in that moment, you're not really sure what to expect. And I've never played in Arrowhead, but everybody tells me the fans are right on top of it, and it's going to get extremely loud with 17,000 people. You know, they're extremely energetic fan base. Again, when they get things wrong, it gets super loud in there. So, you know, we're practicing for it, but until we get in the game, we won't know.
A lot of Bronco fans are going to be Josh Allen and Bills fans this weekend, rooting against Mahomes and the Chiefs. We expect Mahomes to play. Do you expect the Chiefs to lose?
I do not expect the Chiefs to lose. I expect them to win.
Showtime!
Yeah. They are the one team in my mind that really has the ability to just essentially kind of flip the switch, if you will, Mike. They're amazing that way. So, I'm not a believer in flipping the switch, but, they have that ability and they are so dynamic on the offensive side that, you know, when they get down, man, they have the ability to score within about a minute, minute and a half and be right back in a game. So they're just that good.
Next in four down territory.
Third down. I think everyone understands the significance. It's very difficult to get to this point to be, 4 of 32. So I think we're all, excited for it, but certainly understand we have a lot of prep to go. We're going to take every minute up to kickoff to get ready to go.
You know, there was a time where Tom Brady's humility was sort of endearing.
Uh-huh.
It's getting to the point where it's kind of like, will you knock it off and just step up and just say, I'm badass. I'm the GOAT. I know
Absolutely.
It. You know it. You know, for him to say, hey, it's really difficult to be one of the last four teams. It's really difficult mm-hmm. to be, you know, one of the last four out of 32. Tom, you've played 19 years, really, full-time quarterback in the NFL. 14 of those 19 years, you've been part of the Final Four. You've been in the championship game. 14 out of 19. This is child's play for you. Child, please.
Tom Brady.
Child. Hey guys, for most mortals, this is really difficult. For me, it's just what I do.
What I do. I wake up every... Right. Hey, I start the year knowing I'm going to end up in a championship right. game. Just the way it is.
He is the Ricky Bobby of the NFL. I piss excellence. I mean...
Now that said, he's gotten to the championship game again.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think he wins this one. You? I know the Packers...
Great question, Mike. I'm really glad you asked that.
Who you going to be rooting for, Bill?
Yeah, I like football. I like football season
he's
and all the things that go
football.
With it.
Yeah, no. He's going to be a big Aaron Rodgers fan on Sunday.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you're right. I'm taking Green Bay. I'm taking Aaron Rodgers. I'm taking Peter LaFleur.
Cram it up your cram hole, LaFleur.
Listen, man, I will not be surprised.
Well, no, I wouldn't put anything past him.
I wouldn't be surprised at all if Brady just leads them to another world championship. Gosh.
Next in four down territory.
Fourth down.
This place has been kicked. It's been battered. It's been bruised. And I can sit up here and give you coach speak all day long. I can give you, hey, we're going to win this many games. I can't. None of that matters. And you guys don't want to hear it anyway. You've had enough of that. So excuse my language.
Dan Campbell.
Dan.
The new coach of the Detroit Lions went on a 19-minute opening statement. Reference the Big Lebowski. Talking about biting kneecaps.
Yes.
I mean, you talk about winning a press conference.
Yeah.
Death by inches.
Psst. He's biting kneecaps.
I'd much rather have a coach who bites kneecaps than death by inches.
We used to have ankle biters. Remember
that? Yeah,
he had ankle biters. Like, it was like the pop worn, like the little kids, the ankle biters. Kneecap biters.
Here we go. We're going to kick you in the teeth, right? And when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up, and on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off. And we're going to stand up, and it's going to take two more shots to knock us down. And on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap. And we're going to get up, and it's going to take three shots to get us down. And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you. Before long, we're going to be the last one standing.
Jeez.
Well, yeah.
It does. Take everybody's kneecaps out. Nobody's going to be standing.
How does that kind of rah-rah stuff go over in a NFL room?
By the way, I don't know that you can legally take out and bite off a kneecap without getting penalties.
I gotta believe Ed Hockley would probably frown on that.
Yeah. Eventually they're gonna be like, we had to, at the year after next, you're gonna have a big meeting.
Oh yeah, the competition committee
is like, hey guys, we can no longer bite off kneecaps.
Sean Payton's
now that's right.
Sean Payton's gonna be like, listen, I really felt strongly about the PI thing, but this biting the kneecap thing, we've got to address that.
Not really working for
us. Yes. There you go, Lions fans. Got another coach that just won a press conference.
We're back.
That'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour around the NFL. Bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. We bring you Troy Rank, our Denver 7 insider, next. All right, we'll get to Troy Rank here in just a second. We've got question Mark coming up at 8 o'clock. You got a specific question for Mark. Along with, is it just me? God bless you. Don't try to let that sneeze go.
No.
Dude, when you don't let your sneezes just go, you end up bleeding.
No.
We got a bleeder!
If I blow my nose really hard, that's when my nose starts.
Yeah, but I've seen
you. Can't hold your mud. You're a bleeder.
I've seen you. You've tried to, like, really hold that sneeze in, and then pretty soon you're bleeding.
Nobody makes me bleed my own blood.
I'm fine.
Troy Rank. Nobody.
Troy Rank joins us now. Morning, Troy.
What's up, guys? How are you?
Troy Rank brought to us, as always, by ROX Rocks Heating and Air.
Hey, Troy, what do you make of all the Deshaun Watson trade talk? We had Adam Schefter on yesterday, and he basically said the likelihood is strong that Deshaun Watson gets traded. And, what do you say? What are the chances the Broncos have? What do you think it would take to get him? Like, just your general consensus, your general opinion on Deshaun Watson.
Listen, I love Deshaun Watson. He's a top five quarterback in the league. He's in the MVP conversation. He's won at college. He's won in the pros. He's a leader. I mean, he's a difference maker in every way. You just don't see guys like this get traded in their prime. I mean, the last good quarterback traded was Jay Cutler, given the season he was coming off in Denver. Fran Tarkenton. There's just not a lot of opportunities for a team to get in on a guy like this. So I do believe he gets traded. I mean, certainly it's not 100%. Denver doesn't offer the best package when you look at what Miami could give with Tua and that third pick overall. You look at the Jets, they could give up the second pick overall and Darnold. The Broncos don't have that kind of cachet in terms of the draft. For me, for them to be a real player, they would have to probably trade up in the draft to the top five pick, because that's the kind of the centerpiece of the deal, is then Houston could get its quarterback in return. Or you could put Locke in it, but, with all due respect to Locke, he doesn't really have the marquee name of a Sam Darnold or certainly a Tua. So, but you got to call. I just think they're a year away from being involved in a trade like that, with George Payton trying to go draft and development, and then you give up 3 ones and a player. But if you've got to call. You got to find out what it would take. And Deshaun Watson controls it. He's got a no-trade clause. And he hasn't been opposed to Denver. He's followed a bunch of their players on social media. I think he would be open-minded to it. It sounds like Minnesota, as we sit here today, Miami would be his favorite as we sit here today.
I guess, Troy, the issue isn't so much what kind of package can the Broncos put together. It's just, are the Broncos an attractive enough destination for Watson to okay a trade here? And maybe that's the bigger issue right now. Maybe that's the more concerning issue, is why isn't Denver being prominently mentioned when Deshaun Watson landing spots are being discussed?
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason they need him. They haven't gone to the playoffs in 5 years, and they've had 4 straight losing seasons. I'd say that it still resonates as an iconic franchise in some ways. I mean, they won 3 Super Bowls as recently as 2015. Until this dry spell, they were always in the hunt, for the better part of 30, 35 years. So, if you get Deshaun Watson, are you immediately a better team? Absolutely. But to your point, Mike, the danger is you get him and you aren't able to surround him with enough talent because you've lost some draft picks. Maybe you lost a good young player that you moved in return. Normally I would be the one saying, I can't do this. Deshaun Watson is the outlier. He's the guy I would push all my chips to the center of the table and figure it out. Because the number one pick in the subsequent year, let's say it's 3 number ones. If he's any good, the number one the following year is going to be like the 18th, 19th pick. The following year, it's probably the 25th pick. Who cares about those 2 picks? Like, that wouldn't dissuade me in the least. The issue would be, can you get in on these conversations? And you're going to probably have to trade up. The number nine pick isn't a great selling point in starting those conversations. It almost, again, for me, would have to be in the top five.
Deshaun Watson, you make the trade for him. He's on this roster as it's currently constructed. Certainly there'll be some moves in the offseason and some, you know, health. Hopefully guys come back and all that kind of stuff. But as currently constructed, does that make this roster and this football team a playoff team in your mind?
I think they'd be short still, Mark, being completely honest. I mean, it's hard to say because we don't know what other moves would transpire. And they would have to hit on their second-round pick, you know, the second, third-round pick. They'd have to add two corners, probably one to the draft, one to the free agency. I would see them immediately as 8-8, 9-7. Like, that is how much difference I think he could make. The difference of three wins, just his acquisition. Does that make them a playoff team? But no. But does it have them play meaningful games in December and in it the entire season? For me, yes. With the second season he's here being the season you would turn the corner. But again, I love Deshaun Watson, so I'm probably the wrong guy to ask in terms of what I would give up for him. I just think, plus he's young, you know, you're not like a guy you're betting on. I get asked a lot about Matthew Stafford. I understand Stafford would be an upgrade from a talent perspective. He's never won a playoff game. His overall career record, it's not necessarily his fault, but he's 74-90, never won a playoff game, and now I'm asking him to be the difference, to be the winning piece when he's never won. I mean, it's not so much his fault, but his whole career, they've never won. And now I'm asking him to be the guy. Deshaun Watson's won a national championship, and he led the Texans to the playoffs multiple times. That's the guy I'd go all in for.
I'm always kind of curious, because yesterday was very revealing as to just the level of determination, desperation, however you want to describe it, when it comes to what Broncos country would give for a quarterback like Deshaun Watson. Is there a point where you would say, well, what is the point? That you would say, nope, that's too much, too rich for my blood. Cause people were casually, without blinking, saying three picks, Jerry Jeudy, four first rounders. I got five first rounders from some people. At what point would you say enough's enough?
Well, it's likely going to start with three first rounders. And then is it going to be a two or one of your young players? I mean, that's really the core of the package. I would do that trade. I would. You know, I would not want to give up Jerry Jeudy. I've been bullish on Jerry Jeudy. I think he's only going to get better. But would he be a deal breaker if I literally got to is between me and another team? I don't know. I mean, that's a tough one to ask. But you know, the people say give up the whole draft, give up, you know, five ones. I mean, that's Madden. That's video game trade. Like, that's not reality. But the price is three. When you look at what was needed on the acquisition for Laremy Tunsil and Jamal Adams, you're not going to get him for less than three.
Right.
For me. Unless you throw in Tua and Sam Darnold, that is like a one on top of it. So if you get this year's one quarterback and then another one, that's different. And then there'd still probably be a second round in it. The Broncos don't have Tua. They don't have Darnold. We like Locke's potential, but he's not going to be the centerpiece of a trade. So there is a line for me, and it's three ones and something. Is that a two or a player? And the player would matter to me, but I'll be honest, if I was sitting there on the clock, I don't know if the player would, there's a player on their roster that would prevent me from making that deal, a young player on their roster that would prevent me from making that deal.
All right, let's talk about something that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because we don't know that this probably is not going to happen. But Justin Simmons, long-term deal. I look at this like he is not one of the top tier in my mind, because he's not a line of scrimmage blitz, affect the line of scrimmage, down in the box player. That's not how they use him. That's not how Vic Fangio uses him. And I'm not saying that he couldn't be that, but he's not that in the way this defense is constructed. So, do you think they get a long-term deal? Do you think he takes less than you know, top safety money to get a long-term deal here done, or you know, or do you think they're going to have to franchise him again for another year?
Yeah, I mean, George Payton said on The Fan that, you know, they're not looking to let good young players walk out the door. I mean, that's not their strategy, and that would fall under the umbrella of Justin Simmons. Could they franchise tag him again? Yes, Mark, they could. It's just with the cap going down, whether it goes down to 188, as Brandon McManus has said, or all the way to 175, he would be taking a pay cut. You would be asking Justin Simmons to take a pay cut, maybe slight, but if it was goes to 175, he could be taking almost $1 million pay cut after a Pro Bowl season and being, for me, their best player over the past two seasons. Not this year. I think that's bold, but how do I go to a good faith and ask him to take a pay cut? How do I ask him to take a pay cut or the salary, the franchise tag, when I paid Bowles for 10 games of work and Justin has done it, played every snap for three seasons and been all pro 2 years ago, second team, and Pro Bowl this year? I just think you got to make it work. Is he a top safety? Like you said, it depends on how you view that position. He's not Buda Baker. He's not Minka Fitzpatrick. He's not Tyrann Mathieu, but he's right there with that next group, the guy from the Bengals and him. He's probably, for me, the fourth best safety consistently in the league. I pay for that. And remember, Mark, they had 16 takeaways last year. He had six of them by himself.
Yeah.
Five picks and a fumble, and a forced fumble and a fumble recovery. I just think you got to work that out. They've given money to Glasgow, to Juwan James, to Menelik Watson, to Stevenson, to Marquette King. You know, why is it an issue to pay the guy in-house who's done everything you asked? I mean, at some point, it's going to be uncomfortable, and the number's going to be probably more than you want. But that's the guy you kind of overextend yourself for. I don't know. For me, that's an easy decision, especially if you're a draft and development team, because he is what draft and development looks like. That's who it is.
All right, Troy. Great stuff. Enjoy the football weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday.
You got it. See ya.
All right, Troy Rank, presented by ROX Rocks. Heating and air.
I loved that explanation by Troy. I did. I understand the guys who get paid at that position are in the box. You know, they just affect the game in the box more than Justin Simmons does. But that's not Justin Simmons' fault. He's not asked to do that.
If he was asked, could he? Could he be Jamal Adams?
I don't know that he could be Jamal Adams.
I shouldn't say that.
Yeah.
Could he play that role and play it very well?
Like, do I think he could blitz? Do I think he'd be effective down there? Yeah, I already know his first 2 years he played the nickel. I mean, he played corner in the nickel packages. So do I think he could do all that stuff? Yes, I do.
Okay. Hold on a second, Benny. I'll get to it. But here's what I'm listening to, and I'm a little confused. And based on yesterday, you probably think a lot of you probably think I'm confused. That's okay. That's fine. But if this is a guy who is capable of being paid like a $14 million a year safety.
Yeah.
But you're using him in a way that boxes him in as an $11 million a year safety. Then you're not using him right. That's coaching. If you're telling me you're sitting on a guy who has the capability of playing like a top five safety,
mm-hmm.
but you're choosing to use him in a way that makes him a 6-10 safety, you're using him the wrong way.
Again, but
find somebody else to play the role that you've had Justin Simmons playing and let him go play that role.
But again, you're not a heavy cover three. Roll down the city, like you're not, that's okay. Not what you do.
Okay. See, that's okay. Now that's right there is what kicks me off about, especially NFL coaches. I thought the idea was coach to what you have, not to what you want.
Well, Vic coaches the defense that he likes to play. Now he changed it up quite a bit.
Yeah. But why not coach to what you have? And if I've got a guy. I mean, I'm believing you. If you think Justin Simmons can play a role that makes him even more valuable and more dynamic, use him that way.
I think he can play that. I think they like him in the role that he's in. That's six interceptions.
But you're not getting the most out of him.
You're
getting a lot out of him, but are you getting the most out of him?
Maybe you're getting the most out of him in what you think is best for your defense, for the way you play him. A deep third guy.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.